Christ instead of?
When a child is raised Christian and chooses to remain Christian and not to pursue an atheist, Muslim, or Orthodox Jewish path, people have no trouble understanding that choice. It only makes sense. That Christian-raised person is simply being true to how he or she was raised. Even if a child is raised Christian and then chooses not to pursue Christianity, people understand that also. It happens every day. It's not terribly unusual. They have simply turned their back on how they were raised. That's an easy story to tell, too. In my case, as with many other people I could name, it is an entirely harder story to tell.
I was raised to follow a church Christian lifestyle, yet I clearly felt I was choosing to pursue Christ instead. To people at my church, this seemed utterly contradictory and incomprehensible. But to me, the two were increasingly not the same thing. Meeting felt like an impediment to my Christianity, rather than a place to hang with God. I eventually was forced to realize that my birth culture had been an idol, planted smack in my way while I was trying to get to God. I didn't know who made the church culture an idol, but I knew that I had grown up worshiping it as one. I showed up, made the sacrifices, bowed down, prayed, and shaped my life decisions and weekly schedule around it for years. There was no room for God in my life, in any way that didn't primarily serve meeting culture. I believe God eventually needed me to choose between the two, Him or our meeting culture, which to serve. Unsurprisingly, this outlook of mine was upsetting to meeting people. And the objection most commonly raised was that meeting culture had worked for so many for generations. I wouldn't know about that. I do know what meeting culture usually does to people who, through no fault of their own, clearly don't benefit from it. It punishes them socially. The collective authority of the meeting falls upon that one person. The shame stick comes out. And the victims of this unchristian nonsense are not few. In my experience, meeting culture was kind of an endurance test. Far fewer stayed than went, which seemed to kind of be the point. A smug, ghastly misuse of 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. If you're in a Christian group today, they went out from among some other group which you are now not of. Guaranteed. There's no original group left. My culture went out from the Anglican Church in the Victorian age. There was something inauthentic, unworkable, and empty in what I was supposed to be serving at meeting, and for which I was sacrificing my Sundays and my Tuesday and Thursday evenings, my whole week, really. Something in the name of which I was forced to sacrifice what would otherwise have been joyful parts of my childhood. Stuff like Star Wars and Star Trek, movies, television, Christmas, Halloween, pop music, cards and dancing, a million little things which all add up after the first 100 things or so. Johann says,
"The one shameful example of rule-breaking that I most clearly recall indulging in the 50s was watching television at the neighbour's house on Saturday mornings. We did it anyway, sensing that it was probably marginal at best."
It wasn't any different a generation later for us. Oh, you could go over to the neighbours and watch Tarzan and the Super 7 or Jason of Star Command, all right. But in your culture, we all knew what that made you. What kind of Christian everyone now knew you were. What kind of Christian you yourself knew you were. Marginal, at best. To me, meeting Christianity increasingly looked to me like an advertisement for itself, endlessly selling itself to itself. Jesus Christ seemed to be at most a picture decorating the team flag, or the mascot on the field, or the cartoon clown on the sign outside the hamburger restaurant. A whole lot of other things entirely unrelated to pursuing a relationship with him were mainly what was going on there. It took a great deal of chutzpah to stand separate from centuries of tradition and face the simple fact that I was starving and needed something more satisfying, that I was lying with my life and needed to do something more true, that I was pretending as to who I was and needed to be who God had made me to be. But the growing process happened to me more than being something I did. Growth came to me, and God did that, and it wasn't fun. It wasn't mostly about choice, and most of the choices weren't mine. I have the kind of brain that not only can't tune out in a room when someone is addressing everyone, but which must also record tones of voice and pauses and everything. And I was recording about 5 hours a week of meeting stuff still. I had no choice but to take it all in. I have much of it still. Most of the time at meeting was increasingly being spent in men explaining in great detail how important our meeting felt it was, that we remember how important it was to remember the importance of all the terribly important meeting stuff, and how important and right it all just really was for us to remember. Circular, fruitless, unsatisfying, but somehow very, very time-consuming and conducive to acrimonious spats over minutiae. It gave us nothing more than an aimless crusade and demanded nothing less than our very lives of us, 1 hour at a time. There was so much that was increasingly seeming off to me about all of it. Made me want to discuss it with people to see if anyone else was seeing what I was seeing. We were taught weekly that the church we were part of, with its unofficial, unwritten but strictly in place power structure and membership list, was the only right one. We were taught how important it was to attend there and not lust after the leeks, onions, and garlic of the other churches, which no doubt had juggling, fire-eaters, and dancing girls as part of their much more interesting Sunday morning festivities. Like Garrison Keillor, I was absolutely raised to expect that that sort of thing might be going on at other churches. Leeks, onion, and garlic. These Old Testament examples of foods of Egypt that the children of Israel lusted after in the wilderness, we were told, were each characterized by having a strong, enticing flavor. Compared to it, manna slash brethren worship seemed bland. No one ever said what the also mentioned cucumbers and melons they wanted might symbolize or appeal to, but the message was clear. God stuff equals tasteless and bland. World stuff, including other churches, zesty and possibly phallic. We were taught that there was a reward for sticking with the boring church, for sacrificing spectacle and any appeal to the senses each Sunday morning, for swearing what was no doubt going on just up the block. The reward was our being right in a way the other Christian groups weren't. And why were we choosing Christianity to begin with, if not to be righter than everyone else? We were taught about how important our meeting was, but we were also told, in addition to meeting attendance, to read our Bibles and pray. And I did those latter two things ceaselessly, even if I slacked off on showing up at meeting once I got a driver's license. And they led me further from a church culture instead of deeper into one. This was the story for so many of us.